What's Hendrick? Today I got my girl Nay with me.
Hey.
And I want to welcome y'all to Third Wave's debut episode. This is where culture meets clarity and conversations actually go somewhere. We're not debating 50-50 splits, and we're damn sure not going to tell you whether Cheesecake Factory is an acceptable date. Side note, it is an acceptable date, but that's a, anyways.
Right, we're not going to touch it.
So guys, man, when the sun goes down and the lights are up, is Tampa's nightlife actually evolving? Is it evolving? Is it staying the same? What is it truly lacking? That's what we're going to be talking about today. But before we get into that, I really want to time travel backwards a little bit here and talk about what Tampa's nightlife used to be, right? Yeah. And Nay, I remember you told me you were here, like you came down here for college, right?
Yeah, in 2018, I moved down here.
Okay, well, that's perfect because one of my first like things about Tampa's nightlife back then is like it felt like they were really catering to college students with like the drink deals and everything. And it gave like tourist energy because you got to think we have USF here. We had UT, which is it's much bigger than it was before, but it was attracting like Tampa's nightlife just attracted so many college students and they weren't from here. So it was like everywhere you went, it was just like, oh, all we want to do is party, get blacked out drunk. And it just hit in the eye.
St. Leo, HCC.
And truthfully, I felt like the city really lacked identity, right? Promoters, they were doing their thing, they were hustling, but it was as if the owners of these venues really weren't, how can I put it? They weren't investing in an actual experience, just, you know, the quick little money grabs. Like, how can we get people in the door? You know, whether if it's like two for 250 bottles, like, or deals on sections. That's how I saw it. When you were coming up, you know, you're in college, what was like your experience in the nightlife then?
In my experience, it was that. It was very much like we're going out and we're only hitting these couple spots that we know, which was like Prana and then Tanker when Tanker became a thing. And it was just that. And like we really wouldn't like venture out further. Like these days, I think, you know, in our more grown age, we'll hit like a cigar lounge or like something along those lines. But back in those days, it was very much like we're going to Prana tonight. You know, we're going to Tanker tonight. And that was that. And we didn't get bottles. You know what I mean? We're too broke for that.
Oh, yeah. I know y'all was broke. Broke college students, man. We all had those days, bro. I know I did. I was up in Gainesville for a little minute. So, that was a tough time. Tough time. But when we fast forward and we come into today's, you know, Tampa, I do think the nightlife is kind of growing up. There is more intentionality behind, like, the events that are done from these curated events with DJ sets, even clubs now, they're actually doing like, they've always done the theme parties, but now like people are actually showing up in like costumes and like dressing accordingly to the themes. Like they're not just showing up in whatever and not like, you know, it's actually becoming a vibe a little bit. And then at the same time, like Tampa is definitely becoming a little bit more diverse when it comes towards like the nightlife, because I'll say when I was like a couple years younger, it felt as if nightlife was a little segregated. You know, you had that demographic over in Soho and then Ebor was, you know, was us and a few other groups of people, but you know, but I do think like there's a true hunger for like authenticity when it comes to what's going on now. Right.
Yeah. Which is also crazy to me because, like, if you really, like, live in Tampa, you know, there's going to be white people everywhere. But Tampa really is such a melting pot, I feel like, of so many different types of people from different backgrounds. So, it is crazy to see that just now we're starting to see a rise in parties being hosted, events being hosted for people like us.
So, you ain't lying. There's not many spaces for us. And I will say that there's more coming. But I do wish the events match that as well. But Because when we talk about not many spaces for us, let's be honest. Tampa has a heavy rise of rooftop bars right now. And to name a few, you got, I believe it's Embird, Edge, Luna Lounge. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think, like, yes, we go to them, but truth be told, it's not the vibe that if we say, hey, we're going on Saturday night, that's probably not what we're looking for. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't want to spend my time or my money there. Yeah.
You ain't lying. Because it's like, for me, I kind of think about it, is these rooftop bars, like, actually luxury and a more upscale way to, like, you know, party or whatever, how you want to say it? Or is it really just, like, insta-bait?
Thoughts, opinions? What do you think?
Look, I'm not gonna hold back. In my best opinion, yes, they serve a purpose. Not for all of us, but if we're being honest, it's insta-bait, bro. It's not what you think. And I'm gonna talk Embird specifically. I'm going right to Embird. Forget all the rest of them. We're talking Embird now. Yeah. My biggest issue with Embird is the size of it. It's too damn small.
It is. It's very small. For what it tries to give, it's so small.
It makes no sense. And then I'm trying to be nice here, okay?
No.
Hey, take it off. Just rip the band-aid off.
Guys,
that bottle, they do bottle service. They have sections, right?
Which also confusing, but yeah.
Like it's kind of like a little culture grab, if I can, you know, if I can say that. In a location like that where you already have people standing shoulder to shoulder, you're gonna restrict spaces on sections that every time I'm
people
gone.
Aren't buying out.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't get it, you know, but it's like, it makes no sense to me because I've been there and I've seen, like, there was one section, you know, that was packed out, right? It was like maybe six or eight of them. And they ordered a couple bottles. It was a little concerning because the bottles were Grey Goose. It's 2025.
Right.
There's a problem here if you're doing bottles with Grey Goose.
A disconnect, if you will.
Yeah. Something, someone who's running the show is not updated on the times. But it's like, I don't like the size of it. It makes it even harder because they have that one bar, to my knowledge, they have the one bar. And it takes forever just to get a drink.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. Maybe they can kind of restructure and add another bar or add like little like cart ladies or cart bar ladies, whatever you want to call them, and have them in a designated spot where, okay, if I'm getting something simple, like, you know, maybe somebody's out there drinking a White Claw or something. Have the White Claws over there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but do you think that's really the issue? Or like, I can't necessarily pinpoint what I think it is. The size definitely is a big factor. But I don't know. It's so hard to say. Because, like, yeah, customer service. But, oh my gosh, I went to this other place. What is that place? It's by Bayshore. There's it's like two restaurants it's like two restaurants. One has a rooftop bar and then it's a restaurant on this side.
I know what you're talking about. I do.
Yes.
I can't think of the name of it and I probably can't think of the name of it because as soon as you say rooftop bar to me, I'm gone. I'm out of here.
Yeah, I can't pinpoint what the actual issue is. We just got to do better as a collective. And, like, to kind of hit on what you said already, maybe the disconnect between the owners of these places and the demographics and the nightlife scene that we have now, maybe they're just getting too old to, like, understand. Like, maybe that's the problem.
P- Potentially, you know what I mean? Potentially, because there is a couple spots, you know, that aren't, they're not rooftop bars, but they're like just regular clubs that they're packed out every single night. And I've gone, you know, with you, our group of friends, and every section is packed out. Even the standard room packed out. So it's like, although, you know, some of these rooftop bars, I will say, I see the events that they host. It's dope. I think Embird had Shaq once, and then they had a couple other DJs. They have like weekly things, but when the sun goes down, there's no room for nothing. And that's my biggest issue. I'm a big guy. I'm 6'3". I'm 280. I can't be hanging out in a spot like Embird, especially if they're going to be restricting seats. Come on, dog. Like, So truthfully.
Well, and maybe too. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But maybe too, like, rooftop bars, especially like Embird, should just stick to what they're supposed to be and not try to chase this club by a section, we got bottles type of scene.
Agreed.
Like,
agreed.
Just be a cute little, like, you get your cocktails here, then you go somewhere else. I don't understand why.
I can vibe with that because that's what it gets. Right. And on a hot take note, it's like, you know, it's like repackaged lounge culture, you know? Like, it gives me the same vibes as if I was going to go to a cigar lounge and have a fancy, like, well, what's them drinks the old heads be having? Like a mule or something like that. That's what it gives.
The old fashioned.
Yeah, even better. Like, who drinks that? I'm telling you right now.
Lottie.
Lottie drinks that. Okay. We're gonna have to edit that one out because if he watches this, he's not going to be happy.
Okay. So, what?
Let's talk about the DJ scene. Now, you know me. You know me. I love a good DJ event. Ooh, have they been popping up? I don't know if it's just because I'm now following some of these DJs and have actually had small conversations in person with some of them. They do it a lot. And a lot of them, they bounce from state to state, city to city.
Yeah.
Like,
I agree. That's the thing. I don't know if it's like we haven't been following them and they just always have been here, or if it's really been like a new shift in Tampa. I don't know.
And I can, you know what? I like that viewpoint. I like that because it may just be a shift, truly. Because to my knowledge, I didn't see a lot of these events going on, especially not last year.
And if there were, the promoters weren't doing their damn jobs.
Hey, you know what? I'm new to the scene, so I don't want to talk about their promoters just yet. I'm gonna let it roll. But a lot of the DJs that I've watched, that I've seen in person, and I have to take my hat off to each and every one of the names I'm about to say is La Luna. I hope and I pray I'm pronouncing this right.
That's got to be La Luna. Yep.
Tea Couture.
Love her.
Oh, every single time she shows up, it shows.
Love
up.
Her, yes.
Mila Kila.
Haven't seen her yet, I don't think, but you talk very good things about her, so I need to see her. Yes.
See, the sad part is the last event we went to, I think she was the opener, and I think she was on at like 4 or 5, and we didn't show up till about like 7:30 o'clock.
Okay.
And DJ Koo.
Ryan Rose.
That's another one. Yes. He's shut. Hey, I ain't gonna hold you to at SOS, he did his thing. I've never seen a DJ spin gospel music like he did.
That had the whole function up.
That's what I'm saying, right?
The whole function up.
I'm looking around the room like, damn, like they actually rock it with this. And, you know, as me being, you know, I'm very religious. I'm very godly. I love that. Like, I ate that up, truth be told. But I've seen them, those DJs, on numerous occasions, and they never disappoint. And the good thing, the one thing that I really love is their genre diversity. They're not just playing one genre. They're touching on everything.
I agree, They're touching on all the things that we want to hear as the audience.
Oh, for sure.
And I think I've touched on this, but like the DJs, It's the ability to read your audience and have them vibe without playing the same 50 fucking songs.
Big Book. Like, Boss Man D-Lo.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, and I love that. I love that they're bringing different genres to the scene, but it's stuff we still want to hear.
Oh, for sure.
And if it's stuff we don't know, best believe I'm looking that shit up after.
Hey, I'm in the spot with the Shazam on, like.
What song is this?
Hey, I'm not gonna hold you. I forget I forget which DJ was when we were at SOS. They played a song and I was like standing looking around like, nah, I need this. Pull my phone out. But because it was the lyrics, but not the same beat, another song's pulling up. I thought I got it. Man, I got in my car and pressed play. I was so disappointed, bro.
I got this one. Damn.
No, literally. I was like, well, that's a letdown. But there's so many events that are happening and that they're like really and truthfully worthwhile. Because like, let's talk about, I think it's Saturday, this upcoming Saturday. You have the Drip at Blind Tiger, and that's DJ Kool and Luna, La Luna. You have Ice Red and T Couture at the Red Room at the Edition. There's so many things happening, and it's like during the week, on the weekends, you can always find one. And I absolutely love that they're not just playing like these venues in Ybor. Like, they're going to like coffee shops, and like it's a, no matter where you're at, you can probably find one of these events.
Yeah. So, yeah, special shout out to the Tampa DJs.
Oh, for sure.
Also, quick touch on, I think I can credit them to a certain extent that they're doing such a good job. We got Joe K here.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That was a vibe. And I need him to hit Tampa back up.
Hey, what did he say? Tampa was the best crowd he had with the best music knowledge, best openness to it. Bro, we out here. We have culture. But the issue, it's not being utilized.
Right.
We need it.
And that's the thing, too, is Tampa is a smaller city. It's not like Miami and it's not like all these places. But we have a downtown and we have these places. And again, like you said, they're not being utilized. We have the people, we have the culture. It's just not being utilized. It's not being advertised or marketed to. And I think we're on the rise, and we need to keep going in this direction. Because I'm having a damn good time. Okay,
but, hey, I'm having a
good time.
If you ask any of my friends, they'll tell you, man, during the summer, Q don't be outside. It's too hot for him. I've been out there.
Right.
1920. I thought that was an indoor venue. Nah, that was outside, brother.
I'm not gonna lie. I walked into, and I mean, my white ass gonna get there before everybody else, right? And I walk in, I said, outside? It's kinda hot.
I'm with you. I looked up and said, hot. Hold on, this ceiling open. I saw the big fan. I said, I'm they gonna turn that on. Nope. Wasn't that big like that?
Yeah.
Looking around.
But they did have those side fans. Those were nice. Those were balling.
Yeah. And they're all night. You know I did.
And
you know
it. I had to. We all did.
You know, that reminds me. I'm scrolling on TikTok one night. You know, usual doom scroll. And I see this video. Yeah. I can't remember I'm not gonna say the user's name. I'll say that.
Okay.
And he was walking around downtown and on a Tuesday night, he said, he's not from here. He said, man, y'all city's ass, bro. If I was anywhere else, the downtown would be packed and cracking. And I had to comment like, bro, it's Tuesday night. What you expect?
Tuesday? Yeah, this is at work.
I'm saying, like, what are you talking about, bro? So I commented and I was like, if you came and you were walking downtown, like probably from a Thursday to Sunday, you would see what you were looking for. But you not from here, you knocking the city, and you out here after Monday. Bro, don't nobody be outside after a Monday. It's Wednesday. Wednesdays, you got R&B nights.
Yeah.
You got, like, a Tuesday, bro?
Tuesday, you should have took your ass a Green Lemon.
Literally.
That's what you should have did.
Probably took it. went to fucking O'Brien's. They probably got trivia night. You would have found something.
Beef O'Brady's. Oh. Goddamn.
Hey, if you still going to Beef O'Brady's in 2025, I need you to put yourself in like solitary confinement.
What? I tell you what, you know, I'm not from here. I'm from Korea. Shout out Korea. Mm-hmm. But I came here to Beef O'Brady's.
Which side?
Come on, bro. Salt. 010. ROK. No, but I went to Beef O'Brady's. And like, mind you, it's a chain restaurant. I've seen them everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I go. By far the worst food I've ever had in my life. By far.
I don't know why you would do that.
That shit was disgusting.
Man, that shit's ass. And they call themselves a sports bar.
Oh. What?
But so to go back to what I was talking about with the events and everything, spoke on the ones from Saturday. The recent one, some of the big events that like I feel are truly worthwhile, no matter how many times they do it, to start off with that Sound Exchange.
That's love Sound Exchange. Ooh. Yes. If you go to Sound Exchange, you're going to dance.
Oh, 100%. You can't stand still in there. Cause that like that's Afrobeats, man. If you don't catch the vibe of Afrobeats, bro, hey, your hips are lying. Cause mine don't.
Okay, Shakira.
Hey, I'm just being honest. These hips don't lie, man. I'm gonna move a little bit. I'm a big dude. Yeah. I'm gonna move a little, son. You know, like it's curated music, man. It's an artistic atmosphere. And those DJs, I truly believe, like they actually take a risk.
Yeah.
What's the other one? Samba, Kila Studios.
I need to go to that. I haven't been yet. Tell me about it.
They doing their thing over there at Velvet Gypsy. Look, you see the smile on my face. I fuck with them so heavy because I'm gonna tell you right now. They building a real movement over there. All right. Yeah. At Velvet Gypsy, Kila Studios, and Samba, Mila Kila, T Couture. Those are, to me, like, those are the big names that do it. I'm not sure if they've had any, like, you know, or if I can't remember the names. But I feel like they've kind of given Tampa, like, a shot of energy. You know what I'm saying? And definitely a heavy shot of culture. Because you're getting, like, Latin vibes with, like, Afro-Caribbean and... not only, you know, like I said, they're building that movement, but it's like forming a community, because there's so many times where, you know, I've gone and I've seen some of the same people that have already been there. So like, I'm telling you right now, the next one they do, you need to be in attendance. And I'm speaking to everybody who's watching this right now. What? You have to go.
Okay.
Because they won't miss.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, look, and I'm gonna shoot the text. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what? I'm down. But also, like, now that you're saying it, also click something else. Like when you say Afro-Caribbean, we're in Florida. There's going to be Caribbeans here.
For sure.
Regardless. And I think in Tampa, I can only speak on like Nigerians because I have a Nigerian friend and like we talk about it all the time. And there's a big Nigerian community here. So the Africans are out here too. And that's why I think when we were in college, we were hitting up Prana all the time because that was like the one place that would play that type of music.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a little realization.
Now, let me ask you a question here, right? Because back then I didn't really, like, I was out, but I'm not gonna lie, I did go to Soho a lot more than Ybor, just because back then Ybor did have a lot of like drama, you know, they had the shootings, the stabbings, and all that other nonsense. I was like, I'm good.
To this day.
Anyway, is Prana the one that was three floors?
Prana has five floors. Yeah, and the rooftop.
Rooftop is where we played. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? That makes sense, because the last time I was in Piranha, I could be confusing it with Tanker. I don't know. But I was sitting in a section and I was out with, you know, my homegirls. And I kid you not, we chilling in the section. We vibing, getting to it, you know, bottle, cool.
Yeah.
And I look to my right and I say, it look like these, it look like they beefing over there. I looked away. Oh. And I kid you not, and this is no joke, a cut flame came flying past my face. I look back, fists are being thrown. I'm like, we was just vibing.
Yeah, probably Prana. I put it on Prana before I put it on Tangren, but.
It makes no sense, man. It makes no sense. And yeah. That's exactly why these new events are so perfect. Because we went to SOS. Shit was a vibe.
And was.
Was no.
It really beef. Was.
Everybody was in there dancing. I don't know how many new people I spoke to that night.
Man, hell of friends.
Look, I may have been tipsy and a little bit gone, but I'm telling you right now, they were the atmosphere that these events are bringing are it's perfect, and it makes you want to be in attendance for these events, because no matter where you go, no matter how many times you go, wherever it's at, the people in the crowd that it's attracting are the ones that are probably tired of the typical behavior and atmosphere you get at these other locations, at these other venues.
Yeah, I agree. And it's also, I think if I'm not mistaken, that they are like advertising just that, like they're marketing just that, like be ready to make friends, like go to mingle, like we're bringing the vibes, like you just got to show up. So I love that. Like, I love that.
And then you also got to throw in there, it's not, they're not selling sections. So like the dance floor is completely open, and it's forcing people to be next to people that they're not used to, probably wouldn't cross paths with. And it's creating a community.
Yeah.
You can go to
one. I hate a section. I'm not going to lie. I really do. And it's like as a girl, you know, it's nice to sit down every once in a while. For sure. And like, I get that feet be tired and whatever. But it's giving like lack of learning how to be a human, like having those human connections in real life to me. But
hey, we're in agreement, because I don't like putting out money to be sitting or standing on the couch. I want to be out on the dance floor. I want to be, you know, I want to be, like I said, man, these hips don't lie.
Okay, Barry.
you can't play good music and sit me down. No, bro. Put me on the dance floor and let me get the grooving. I'm gonna show you a little something, right? So to close out on that topic, right? My heavy thought on it is that these events, they're not just popular. It's kind of like what you said. They're shifting the culture here in Tampa. Like,
yeah.
And if you're not tapped into these events, if you're not tapped in with these DJs, DJ Koo, La Luna, Mila Kila, Tika Tor, Ryan Rose, I'm going to just stop there because I could rattle off a couple more. You're missing out. These aren't just parties. They're in an entire experience in itself.
I agree.
Now, I agree. We've spoken on this about 3-4 times already. The section culture.
Let's really delve into this.
Yeah. Let's actually dive deep and see, you know, what's going on here. And I think with this next segment that we're talking about with section culture, you know, whether they're vibes or, you know, just vultures when it comes to it, it's like you got the VIP seating, the rope dividers, and these fucking $600 bottles of Casamigos, bro. Like, let's be real, man. Like, call me cheap. Call me cheap. I'll take it. It makes no sense going and buying these bottle deals when the exact same bottles you're spending when. So look, you're buying the bottles and you're splitting it with whoever's in your section. So maybe 80, right. 70 bucks, depending. You can go take that 70, 80 bucks from one person and go to ABC Wine and get that same thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's not like you're drinking the good stuff. Terramano is terrible. Casamigos is awful.
I hate Casamigos. so bad.
Don't give me that. I can't even drink Terramana. I'm allergic. My face puff up. I look like Will Smith on Hitch.
Like, I'm dead.
I have a picture. When we get off, I'll show you. It's awful.
Okay, but oh, that's why you weren't drinking that at at Hannah's party. Okay.
Yeah, I can't drink it. So something that I didn't tell you. I spoke to four people that I won't say are heavy in nightlife. Well, I can't. Most of them worked in nightlife. They were bottle girls. They worked at some of the top clubs here in Tampa. And I kind of got their viewpoint on section culture. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't put their names in it. So I kind of like, you know, I relabeled them. And the first person I spoke to, I'm going to call them the critique. Okay?
The critique. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm going
to give you... I already knew what you're talking about.
I'm going to give you their quote. And I kind of want to see what your thought is on it. All right? You ready?
Okay.
So the first
person... Wait.
Yeah.
Oh, damn, I don't have signs. I was going to hold yes or no. Okay, all right. But so, go ahead.
The first person I spoke to about sex and culture, and I quote, they said, "Sex and culture is so ass." Where are you
agree.
At with that? Agree. Okay.
And me personally, I really don't care how you slice and dice it. Like, I don't think you can convince me otherwise. Because how is it not? The only people section culture is good for are the people working in the clubs. And that's solely because of money. Not anything else.
I can agree with that. Because now, although that's the one person to critique, I spoke to them. I did talk to, you know, I put on Instagram, follow us at, you know, third_wave_pod, you know, that's where I posted it. and I asked people what they thought and how they felt about it. And truthfully, that's a common like sentiment, like especially with people that are younger than us. You know, they said that a lot of the clubs are just becoming too divided. You know, the dance floor used to be. Yeah. The real heart of the night, and now it's how many bottles can you buy? I'm sitting here and I'm looking cool. I got my fresh J's on. I don't want to get them stepped on. You know what I'm saying?
And like, honestly, because this conversation can go so many different ways. Because part of that, I think, like you said, like mentioning them trying to be like cool, it's the wannabe rapper ass, like living that lifestyle ass type of people. You know what I'm saying? And like, I remember not that long ago, there was like a trend on TikTok. Well, I don't know if it was a trend, but a lot of millennials were getting on TikTok talking about, well, when we were in the club, we were dancing, sweating, all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah.
For sure.
Bring that shit back.
It needs to be back. Yeah. And that's why I say shout out to all these DJ events because they bringing it back.
Right. So, yeah.
Now.
I agree.
Oh, I'm with you. We are here. All right.
We are here.
So the second person I spoke to, we're going to call this person business right reality. All right.
Okay.
Which I understand that we can't ignore the economics of it all. Ooh, you know, you got to make your money. But their quote was, well, you got to look at it from a business perspective. They have to make more than what they sell by a shot at the bar.
It's what I just said, right? The only person that really is benefiting are the people that are profiting off of these sections.
Yep, agreed.
So 100%. I get it, because people got to feed their families. Like,
oh, yeah. Because, right. Like, if we're being honest, these clubs, they kind of operate on a very thin margin, you know? And bottle service pays their bills. Because I'm going to tell you.
Trust me, I know.
What? Yeah, you worked in nightlife. You were a bottle girl for a little bit, so you know.
I think I did it for, like, 2 months. And, I think I did it for 1 month. And not even just one. I made like 2 grand, bro. In 1 month. And that's me, no prior knowledge of nothing.
Two grand in the entire month.
2 grand.
An extra 2 grand?
In just tips. Just what I'm getting at the end of the night.
Okay, let's have a...
I'm not even top seller in the bitch.
Ooh. Now, I just want to throw out there an idea really quick. I don't know if there's any female club owners, but maybe y'all want to, you know, somebody, you know, throw some like money that out there and get like mail bottle service.
That's not where I thought you were going with this, but sure. I mean, we got the barbacks that come with us and do the whoo whoo.
No. I want the full 2K. I don't want just that. I want the full 2K. So if I got to go out there and blow a whistle and wave some lights, hey, I will do it. But it's got to be a female-only club. Like, no males can be in there.
I see what you mean.
Yeah, you get
it. Ain't been happening anytime soon, but all right.
I'm going to just edit this part out. I'm going to edit this one out.
No, you got to keep it in. You got to keep it in.
You ain't finna do me like this.
No, but not because of you, but because I don't think it's going to happen. Because, again, this can go into so many different conversations, but who's really spending money? Majorly.
Damn, you're right. Damn.
Okay. Right? So...
Then I guess I gotta say, women, start digging in them purses, man. Y'all be walking with the Telfair, the Chanel, the Gucci, digging them purses. I know some
and
of y'all
take his ass to cheesecake.
take me to cheesecake, bro. I fuck with cheesecake.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, So it's benefiting the people that are profiting off of these these
for sure. Actions.
For sure.
So
undeniably, yeah.
Third person. The female perspective. Which it's hard to disagree with this one. It really is. In my opinion, it's hard because I'm all about comfort. And I can't be, you know, I can't be mad at this. But the quote is, it's an experience. You have someone catering to your needs. I can preserve my feet with heels. It's a level of exclusivity being away from the crowd that I like.
And again, I touched on this too. Like, I like to sit down after my hips are selling the truth. Okay, they're not lying. I want to lie down.
Hey, if I can tell y'all one thing about this damn girl, Nate, is she gonna go out there and move it. She ain't holding back. From the time we step in there, she get that one drink in her, she's moving and grooving. Them hips are every which way.
So, yeah, I'm not gonna lie, right? So, my feet do be hurting, and I do want to sit down. But for me personally, and I get the type of woman that maybe isn't like me, and they're not moving, and they do just want that, you know,
for sure,
to be secluded and whatever. But I'm going to sit maybe 2 to 5 minutes max, and then I'm back out there. You know what I mean? Exactly.
You know, you just need a little breather. Like, hey, coach, take me out real quick. I get it.
So, I mean, I definitely get the female perspective on it. And, like, you know, and you don't have to go to the bar and get a drink, and people are bringing it to you and all this stuff. But overall, I would just rather not have a section overall. But that's just me, you know. That's just me.
Hey, No. I agree, because the money we just spent on that section, we could have spent on drinks, hookah.
Facts.
I love me
hookah. What hookah horse? Yep.
All right. Okay. Now hookah horse. Sorry, crazy. the next viewpoint is the hyper view. Now, if I can just take 15 seconds to say, I think this is the stupidest thing I've ever thought, right? The stupidest thing I've ever heard, I mean, because it makes no sense. I don't agree with it. I'm trying not to curse. It's a waste of money to the fullest extent, because Listen to what they said. I like having a section, a designated safe space. Rest your feet, rest your things. No one bumping into you. So you're telling me you're buying a section to sit your stuff down. I'm going to just let you talk before. Go ahead.
It's okay. It's hypocritical of me to say that I don't agree with this point of view because I literally just said all this. Mm-hmm. But like to a certain extent, right? Because if that's the case, like stay home.
I don't get it.
And also like who's bringing out a big ass, heavy ass purse when they go out? You just need your ID, your card, whatever, right? Keep it cute. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like people bumping into you and you're one of those people where you're going to get bumped into and then get mad that you got bumped into because you're in a crowded space, don't put yourself in a predicament to go be in a crowded space, yeah. Right?
Why are you here?
Cause right. But that's just me playing devil's advocate.
No, I'm with you. Because I generally don't agree with this standpoint is because I get, you know, being in a section, it's probably more of a, like an intimate vibe with you and your friends or whoever's in there. But it's like, if I'm out, I'm at an event, I'm partying, you know, I'm having a ball. I want to mingle with like all of the different vibes that are in the room. Mm. Like I know my people vibe. I know how my people rock. But I think I find a very... like, I enjoy being in the mix with people and being able to, at the same time, like, we're having drinks, we're hanging out, we're vibing, and just, like, socializing. It's like that community feel when you out partying. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why...
Go ahead. Sorry. But I'm just saying, like, if intimacy is what you're looking for with your friends, and that's why you have the viewpoint that you have... go do something intimate with your friends. Like, you don't have to go out to a club. You know what I mean?
Agree.
I think we just all need to be a little more realistic as to what a club is and what it's offering and why people go to a club. Mm-hmm. And then maybe that'll alleviate some of your stress and frustration.
Got it. Well, so then on the topic of culture section, it kind of depends who you ask. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Although I feel like, you know, if the club is based, like, it's more sort of focused on their sections, it kind of kills that community vibe. And it really makes the club just feel like it's off limits to where it's like, okay, well, what am I doing here? Like, there's one club, I don't want to say a name, fuck it, Flex. You got that big bar in the middle. Now, I understand it's also a sports bar, but you got that big bar in the middle and the, like, sections on this side of it. And on the other side, you have, like, the tables and everything. It's not, you know, it's not enough room to actually, like, you know, just, like, to actually vibe unless you're in a section or at a table. And that's my opinion.
Yeah. I have mixed feelings about Flex.
Yeah, but I will say, he, you know, what's his name? Key. I'm not speaking ill of him or anything like that. A lot of his locations be jumping every weekend because, you know, for some of the people where they love that, you know, that section culture stuff, it's done right for them. It's done right. You know, he has Flex, Tally Ho, and a few other ones like. He does it right because people, you know, they love it. But
and I think that's why Flex works, because there really is no space for you to like linger and mingle around. Mm-hmm. And if you are definitely bumping into people at the bar or like finding someone, right? You're not just but I think it works because it's for those people that want to have a table, want to have a section where they can be with their people and still catch that vibe because you're doing it from the couch that you're standing on by your table. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah, I definitely think, like, that caters to that type of vibe perfectly, and I think that's why it works. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but if you're like us and you want to dance and you want to move around, it's not the place to go.
I see you at Samba. I see you at SOS. I see you at Sound Exchange. Yes, Usky.
Yeah.
So maybe the real issue isn't, you know, the sections itself, but maybe it's how the venues kind of like balance.
Go about selling them.
Yeah. Like that, and also like balancing, you know, the dance floor with the sections. So like, you know, you can have that little community, but
right.
This is going
to So let me correct what the hell I said then. Okay, no, right?
Let me hear.
I said I hate a section. Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't hate the section, because like I said, I like sitting down, right, having somewhere to put my stuff and all that stuff. I agree. Okay, maybe I don't hate the section. I just hate how it's run, or how it's been. You know what I mean? How it's been programmed to us. I don't know what the words are, but
you can change your view on it. I hate it. Next. let's get into some hot takes, you know, a little debate time. So I asked a few questions on the gram once again. Third wave _ pod on Instagram, follow us. And a couple people asked me some questions, and I picked out the ones that I felt would not ruffle feathers, but, you know, kind of be like
hot takes.
Yeah, hot takes, you know. It kind of forces you to not play it safe, right? So the first one is, are DJs getting creative or playing it safe? Who's running the city currently?
In what regard, though?
What do you mean in what regard?
Like what? Like, are they getting creative or playing it safe?
As in
with the music they play?
Yes, as with the music.
Mm. Are we asking my opinion?
Yeah. It's a hot take. Go ahead, cook up.
Okay. Let me cook. No. I think there's no definitive yes or no for me, but I think they maybe are playing it. No, I think they maybe are playing it more safe than they are getting creative, if that makes sense. Because we're not, huh?
I said, why do you say that?
Because we're not like I said, like there's a shift right now. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we're like definitively in our like DJ era. Like, I think we're getting there. But because of that, and we don't want to, or they don't want to lose their audience or the crowd or whatever the case may be, they're going to play it safe by playing the things that they know the crowd will like. But also, that I feel like that goes hand in hand with like just being a good DJ and being able to like read your audience. But I don't know. It's a good question. What do you think? Uh-oh.
Now, don't get me wrong. When it comes to Tampa's music, Tampa's culture, it's a mixed bag, right? Some do play it safe, and those be the ones that are playing the, you know, top 50 hits, the Big Boog, Boss Man D-Lo, Lil Tyler, and oh, fucking hell. The ones that spin the 90s R&B. Don't get me wrong, I love my 90s R&B. But if I hear When I See You, Candy Rain.
Classics, come on.
They're classics, yes. But every time, you're telling me you don't got no Luther, you Nelly. What's another name?
Well, yeah, it is definitely like the same like 10 songs, for sure.
Like
across the board. I give you that, yeah.
And I can leave one club and go to the next and hear them exact same songs.
That happens a lot, actually.
A lot. It makes no sense to me. Are y'all sharing playlists? Like, do y'all cook up and say, hey, bro, like, here's my USB drive. Like, come on, bro.
It worked for me.
But, oh, God. It bothers me. But I will say, like,
yeah,
most of the time that does happen in, like, the few black spaces that we do have where they're kind of playing, like, you know, they're playing it safe, playing what they know people are listening to currently and what they love based off of the culture from back then. To speak on like a DJ running the city, I don't, from my perspective, I don't think like I can really like
pinpoint one person.
Yeah, because I love them all so much. like I'm telling you, like, man, these DJs for me, they're killing it. Like, I keep saying these names: Koo, LaLuna, Takor, Mila Keela, DJ Frozen. It's so diverse right now that it's like it's hard to pick. But I will say this, you know, I'll go this way. Based off of the events I have been to, all the DJs that I've actually heard, I'll put them in the top three for me, in my perspective.
Give it up for, who is it?
No specific order.
Okay.
Mila Keela, T Couture, DJ Koo.
Okay.
Those three get it done for me every single time. And that's not me saying that the other, you know, the other DJs that I've listened to don't get it done. Cause I'm gonna tell you right now, they get up on that stage, I'm glued. What you got for me today? But they're popping their shit, bro. Every single time they pop their shit. So I'm sorry for those that thought I was going to probably say something a little bit more hot. I ain't trying to, you know, I'm in that scene. I'm trying to, you know, I like to be out there and mingle with them and actually talk to them. So, I'm
probably safe enough. Yeah, I think we're getting to a space of creativity, and I want our DJs to like push more boundaries. Yeah. I'd like to see that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think the consensus is, at least for us, that we're more on the safe side for sure.
Yeah, definitely not the ones I named, but a couple others.
Right. We're talking like overall general public.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So the second question is, Tampa's nightlife is growing, but can it ever compete with Miami, Atlanta, or Houston?
You want to go first?
Oh, I don't mind. I will go first because my answer is pretty easy. Fuck no, baby.
Yeah,
I'm from Miami. Yeah. Miami's a different night. Miami don't rest, bro. Miami for one, they know they're a melting pot of different cultures, and you can find a spot for every single one of them. You can't find that here. Atlanta. Come on now, we know Atlanta. And Houston.
18-year-old.
Yeah. I went to Houston for my boy's birthday. Shout out, Lottie. I couldn't hang in Houston, dog. I couldn't hang. They had me toe up from the flow up, bro. I mean, I was in I think that was the first time I ever had Canes. I was in a Canes drive-thru, I think, or whatever it was. And I was like in and out because I'm like, I would wake up. We sat in that drive-thru for a solid hour, no cap, because it like the only thing that was open.
I will say that's a
downfall. Yeah, but that's the downfall of Houston. A lot of shit closes like mad early.
Yeah, Texas in general, that should be closing at 9. Yeah, don't fuck with it. Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm pretty much in agreement with you. I don't think it's ever going to get to that level. And I think it's also like the size. I think Tampa's pretty small in comparison to like Miami and Atlanta and Houston. So like, yeah. And also, as long as I've been here and the school I went to and everything, I think a lot of people in Tampa aren't from Tampa. So like, we always have people coming in and out. You know what I mean? So it's like, when we don't have that home base of like people, I don't think it can ever get to that point.
Stop moving to Tampa.
police.
Y'all raising.
Even though I am a, what do you call it? A something plant. What do they say? Damn it. I don't know the word, but y'all know what I'm talking about.
You one of us. Well, you one of them. I don't claim Tampa as like my city. I'm from Miami. Yeah. Other people would probably say I'm from Bama, but we're not going to talk about it. That's a whole nother story.
crying.
But yeah, I agree. Yeah. I don't think Tampa could, you know, Tampa's, it's not big enough. It's too small.
Yeah, we ain't touching that.
Yeah, we ain't.
Not for a long while.
Shit, probably not till we about 50.
And by the time we get there, we probably be underwater anyway, so.
Okay.
All right.
The next question is, are dress codes still necessary, or is it just a hassle? Floor is yours.
Because it's gonna be people that show up in whatever the fuck. It is going to be those people. Now, what I will say about the dress codes, mm-hmm. we can make it less strict, I think.
Okay.
Like, bro, there's some places where you can't wear flats. Bitch, I'm going to wear a flat. I am a tall girl. Like, I don't want to be in a heel. The fuck? Sorry. But what? So that's what I will say. So yes, they're necessary, but to a certain point, because WTF, people are going to show up in a muscle tee, and I don't want to see that ever.
Yeah, I can actually agree. I can agree. Yeah. Truth be told, on my end, yeah, it's a necessity. It's an absolute necessity because I feel for certain venues, and I'll speak to Lit. I believe Lit has a dress code. Mm.
I think so, yeah. I just can't remember what it is. But I
feel like the type of venue they are, and I believe something happened and they implemented the dress code. It gave Lit a entire new feel to it. And if I'm being honest, if I'm doing an R&B night, if I go to an R&B night and I come in there and I see like outfits that you would probably see in like on a regular Saturday night at a nightclub, it's like, I want to see people show up in like fucking Sunday's best. Put that shit on. Now, that's not me saying that, you know, the ones that be at the club on a Saturday, they don't put that shit on because they do, but I'm saying, like, really step. Put that grown shit on. Truly. I do think, like, it has to match the vibe of your club. Like, you can't, you know, you can't. If you're a certain, like, club that's eating off of a certain demographic, you got to apply the dress code, like, fairly. I can say that.
Mm, yeah.
But I do think a dress code is necessary. Truly.
I agree, because like I said, it is going to be people that show up in whatever the hell mm-hmm. and look a damn mess.
Because mm-hmm. I tell you, a lot of them like to show up with the flapjacks hanging out, and that's what I don't get, man. You put the flapjacks away, put the fish fillets away, bro, because you ain't got it back there.
Flapjack, bro? Bro, I'm a decade removed from having a flapjack, okay? It's been gone. But as a former flapjacky, please. please. She got a little something now, but please. Chill on us.
She stands in solidarity with the flapjacks.
You can't help it, goddammit. Well, you can. I've helped it, but it's taking me a while, goddammit.
So, anyway. The last question is, and this is kind of touching on the topic that we had, what's still missing from Tampa's nightlife? Authenticity, variety, or inclusivity?
What's still missing? Out of those three, or are we just saying in general?
Yeah. And throw in what you also think. Like, let me hear what you think.
I think authenticity, yes, mm-hmm. for one. For sure. I think we need more of that. But again, I just don't see the world in like a black and white type of view. So I think there's like a lot of gray area and reasons and factors as to why that's happening. Mm-hmm. Phones and social media and all that kind of stuff, of course. Variety, although we're getting better, like we said, now there's more spaces for us to go and hear the stuff that we want to hear, mm-hmm. And experience the things we want to experience. And inclusivity, that one I don't know, because like, yes, but also if I go to Soho, I know what I'm going to Soho for.
Okay,
I'm getting white girl wasted and listening to white people shit, okay?
And they do got some bangers. They got some bangers.
Yeah. Maroon 5. But I mean, overall, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, America has a race issue anyway. So, but yeah. Anyway, I don't think that's a Tampa problem, but all right.
Oh wow. Okay, so
that's my opinion, by the way.
No, I like that. I'm glad you can give it. I think what Tampa's lacking truly is, I think the inclusivity is really, it's coming. I see it with some of these curated events. I see it. Granted, there will be black spaces, and there will be, you know, there's going to be different spaces for different groups of people. And I love that, because, hey, that's, you know, some people are going to feel more comfortable and safe in their own spaces. The variety, as you see with, you know, like I just said, the curated events and so forth, it's popping, you know, that's there. I think what's really missing is like often.
You gotta sound it out, babe.
Bro, I don't know sound why I struggle with that word. Like, what's going on?
Authenticity.
Authenticity. There we go. Authenticity. I think we're missing authentic experiences, truthfully. More diverse, like, offerings when it comes to, like, the music. Tampa's got a beautiful, like, mix of different cultures. And I want to see that be brought out more. And I truly do hope, like, as nightlife here in Tampa continues to grow, that we truly do get to see all of that shine through. Because, like you said, it's a heavy, like, Nigerian, like, feel here in Tampa. Like, there's a lot of them. Shit, there's two in our friend group alone. So I hope to see a little bit more of that. And for me personally, being Jamaican, I would absolutely love to see that a little bit more. I would love to. But that's what I think is really missing right now, is just the authentic experiences, man. So, like, with that being said, I got to take my hat off to, you know, the people that are hosting these curated events, bringing in these
doing the damn thing. Yeah.
Bringing in these fire ass DJs, and like, salute to y'all, because y'all are giving me what I crave.
Me and my homegirls. Yes.
All of it. Yeah.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Do you have, you know, off of everything we've just talked about, do you have any kind of like final thoughts, man?
I'm just excited to kind of see where Tampa's nightlife like goes, because I think we're on a good track right now, and I think things are definitely up from here. And like, I'm so excited to go to these events that we're talking about that are to come. SOS, Sound Exchange, like, yes, like, I'm so excited. I think that's my final thought. And like, we can do better as a city. We can, as a people. But I think I look at shit like half full. So I think we're going to get there. Yeah, I think we're going to get there. Yeah.
I'll definitely say, like, you know, Tampa's for sure heating up. It's not just about like the rooftop vibes or, you know, how they do the sections and the dress code. I generally believe like one of the biggest aspects to Tampa's nightlife is how people feel when the sun sets, man. Like, where's the vibes at? Where's the energy at? Yeah. Where can I go to have a, you know, get an experience rather than just getting blacked out drunk? I think that's where we're headed. And I think it's a good place to be going, you know? But
yeah.
I want to give a shout out to anybody that tuned in to this, you know, Third Way's debut episode. I'm grateful. Period. This is something that we both have wanted to do for an extremely long time. So I want to also, you know, say thank you for being here with this, you know, on this episode with me, because I don't think I could have done this by myself.
Thank you. And I appreciate, you know, because when you posted it, you were like, co-host, I'm like, please, please. but like, for real, like, you really put it together, and like, I'm proud of you, like, for real. And yeah, we gonna be as goddamn big as the fucking biggest podcast right now.
Yes, sir. So, you know, just to tease the, you know, the next episode, we're getting to sit down with a big barber here in Tampa. Very unapologetically real. Sharp as fades. And in my opinion, she's like MJ 96, 97 with the Clippers. So I can't wait for that one. That one's coming soon. So for now, I want to say, everybody, have a blessed night. Follow us on Instagram. Third Wave_pod. Link in the bio for the YouTube. Subscribe. Comment below and let us know what you really thought. You know, give us some feedback. And if you have any, you know, DJ, your favorite DJs, comment them. And, you know, hey, if you got a little, you know, a nightlife story that you'd want to share with us, because I'm telling you, we're gonna retouch on this topic. DM it to us.
We'll see where it goes.
We'll see. So I just want to say thank you to everybody, man. If you tuned in, man, shout out to you guys. It's been a hell of a conversation. Nate, shout out to you once again.
Mwah, mwah. And we better see y'all at the next damn event. I'm talking to the camera.
Uh-huh. You better be at Samba. You better be at Sound of Change. You better be at the next SOS. Don't be lame and don't miss out, man. We'll catch y'all on the next episode.
Bye.